Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for letting us come to this place. God, we thank you for letting us come to the house of God one more time. It is, as me and Brother Jones was talking, Lord, this side of eternity, there's no other place I'd rather be than to be right where I am tonight. And Father God, I can say that in an honest heart. At the Lord, I look forward to coming to the house of God and getting to be with the people of God. And Lord, I'd pray for a few minutes of time that, Lord, that you'd help us to preach, Lord, with unction and anointing. God, I pray that, Lord, we're not interested tonight in being a tinkling cymbal nor sounding brass. But God, I pray what the Bible would say in Isaiah 59, Lord, let us lift up our voice and God, cry like a trumpet. Lord, I pray, help us tonight. Lord, that we'd not say anything beyond what you'd have us to. And God, I pray, but we'd say everything that you would. And Lord, I am thankful, as Nathaniel said. And God, I feel like, Lord, you've just been sort of orchestrating the whole thing for us tonight. But to God, I am thankful, Lord. And God, I'm ashamed to say that there have been times, and God, that we have tested the grace of God. But Lord, I am thankful that God, that I've found out that the Lord, just like that widow woman, had to every time she'd reach her hand down in the barrel and to pull out some more meal. I'm glad that God had to every time we've ever showed up and God needed more grace and more forgiveness. I'm glad, Lord, we never have got to the bottom of the good grace of God. Father, I pray, help us now, Lord, one more time. And if tonight is the last time, I pray, God, you'd help it to be the best time. Father, we sure love you. We thank you for everything you've done. God, I could go home right now and say, God, it's been good. Lord, I came, Father God, to worship you, to feel your presence and to feel your touch. And God, when you've come by, what a blessing that it is. Lord, we ask you to help us now. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. I'll be looking in Ephesians chapter number 2, but I'm going to say just a word. I've been thinking about this about all month or ever since. Maybe the season has started. I've been thinking about, I understand everybody's sort of thinking about presents and they're thinking about the virgin birth and to thank God for that. And as was already said, thank God for the death on Calvary, for the resurrection, and that he lives right now in my heart. But I want to say this tonight. Of what if the Lord Jesus Christ had never came? That's been my thought about all season long. It's what if the God of glory had chose not to come? And what if tonight there was no manger? If there was no Calvary? If there was no empty tomb? If there was no throne of grace where he sat at the right hand? What would that look like? Amen. Oh, listen, friend. I've been thinking about this, and I want you to look in Ephesians 2 and notice the Bible says this. I think we find the answer in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 12. The Bible says it like this. He said that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, as strangers from the covenant of promise. Watch these next words. Having no hope, amen, and without God in this world. I'd say this to you, friend. If we didn't have God, if he never came, if he never lived, if he never died, if he never got up, I don't know what all it would look like. But I'd say this for sure. We would have no hope, amen. Can you imagine going through this thing, having absolutely no hope, and waking up in the morning and listen, friend, have the only thing waiting on you is that one day you're going to die, and after you die, hell awaits. No hope. And thank God I didn't wake up that way this morning. I woke up this morning thinking, I hope God comes today, amen. And if he
did. Thank God I've got hope in Christ. Amen. Oh, listen, I was thinking about this. You all know how it goes, how the saying is. I've got folks come in the drugstore, and it's been one of the best witnessing tools. I'll get to talking to them, and this is how they'll say it. I'll say, how you doing today? They'll say, well, I woke up on the right side of the ground. I'm doing pretty good. I said, thank God I'll be doing better when I wake up on the other side. Amen. And they'll listen, thank God. I'm glad I'm doing all right here. But that might change before the night's over. I've got good news for you. And my standing in Christ is eternal. And so I'd like to preach on this. If the Lord helped me for just a few minutes of time, I was thinking about if there was no virgin birth, no virtuous life, no vicarious death, no victorious resurrection, if there was not no visible return, I thank God we'd have no hope. But the thought tonight is this, but he did, amen. But he did, thank God. Hey, listen, let me just clear myself off a spot and say, thank God. Hey, friend, listen, he didn't have to come, but he did, amen. He didn't have to be born, but he did, amen. He didn't have to go to the Calvary's cross, but he did, amen. And listen, if he hadn't came, you and I would have had no hope whatsoever. The Bible says it pretty plain. Oh, let me just read that. I think it's over there in Psalms chapter 49. And maybe Psalms 49 or 47. We'll start in 49. If it ain't there, it'll be in 47. But in Psalms 40, 49, there it is. Verse number 7. The Bible says this. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. You know what that says? You've got no means whereby to redeem yourself or anybody else. If Christ didn't come, we got no hope, amen. But thank God, I'm glad the Bible said in Luke 1:68 that he came and he might redeem his people from their sin. And one of my favorite verses, I mean, thank God, in all this King James Bible, it resides in 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as ye know, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But thank God, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Hey, Miss Irene, that's why you can stand and say, he is to me more precious than gold. Man, thank God. If you had all the gold in Fort Knox, it wouldn't redeem your favorite person. It wouldn't even redeem your own self. But I'm glad when Christ came and went up to Calvary and shed his blood. Before that, no hope of redemption. But thank God now. And the Bible says, in whom we have redemption. Listen, and the redemption of our souls, even the forgiveness of sin. I'm glad, thank God, and standing where we're at, had been no hope without him. But thank God he came, amen. And we've got redemption. I'll say this, I'm glad I'm redeemed tonight. Aren't you glad for that? I've been bought back. I've been bought out. I've been brought up. I've been brought in. I mean, however you want to slice that thing, I'm doing pretty good. And to listen, friend, I thank God. Hallelujah. I thank God that whenever it came to redemption, I didn't get it because I'd done anything good. But year after year, Ty, everybody done everything they could to try to fix their own self. And they never was able to bring 1 ounce of redemption. But the Bible summed it up in Hebrews 9:12. It said, neither by the blood of goats and calves. It never was going to do any good. And neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood hath he entered once into the holy place, having obtained hand. Amen. Thank God. I like that term. Amen. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. Amen. Thank God. Listen. As somebody said, I don't believe in eternal salvation. If you got saved, it's eternal. Amen. And the Bible says he only authors one kind. And the Bible says he is the author of eternal salvation. If you got something that's not eternal, it wasn't authored by him. Amen. 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 Thank God. Amen. Praise God. I can preach on that for a minute or two. But I'm saying simply this. Thank God we had no hope of redemption. But the Bible says, amen, that at that time, what's your verse? In verse 13, here we find the hope of redemption. But he came. We had no hope. And without God in the world. But boy, I like verse 13. He said, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes are afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. And no other fount I know. And nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood. And drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood. And they lose all their guilty stains. And boy, that feels pretty good. Amen. I'm saying this. And thank God that he came. And he brought eternal redemption. Amen. And then I thought about this. And not only if he hadn't a cup. If the Lord hadn't a cup, there'd been no hope of redemption. But if the Lord hadn't a cup, there'd have been no hope of reconciliation. And when I got thinking about this, I realized it takes a lot of folks. They don't necessarily understand. But look here, friend. When Christ came and died, he died first and foremost. And not to save you, but he died first and foremost to satisfy God. And when he satisfied God, he by that means could save you. If God wasn't satisfied, there'd be no salvation for you. At first he had to appease, have the payment. He had to satisfy the wrath. He had to satisfy the penalty. He had to satisfy it all. And when Christ came, and not in a manger but on a cross, he appeased the wrath of a thrice holy God, who said he shall see and the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. Let me say this, friend. You know what would have happened if he hadn't have done that? How the Bible said in Romans 5:9, and for if when we were enemies, and we were reconciled unto God, and by the death of his son, how much more being now reconciled, and we shall be saved by his life. And thank God, listen. And before that, Brother Telmer, and we were enemies, and separated from God, had no way to get there, had no mercy, had, thank God, no grace, had no peace, had no forgiveness, had no payment, had no nothing. And the chasm was great, and the valley was deep, and there was no way to get there. And God was angry, and sin had separated, and we were the offending party, had no way to get back to God, had no way to get up to where he was. And so God came down to where we was, and that we might bring him, and that he might bring us, rather, up to where God is. And so thank God, let me say this, if we are standing here, and God would have never came, and we'd have never known what it was like, and to be back in fellowship with God. But oh, you remember the night that you got born again by the good grace of God, and God took somebody that was an enemy way over here, and somebody that was an enemy and way over here, and he brought the two parties together over the body of his son on Calvary's cross. And he said, because of that, and thank God, because of that payment, and because of the death of his son, and because of what he provided, and two parties that used to be enemies are now made friends. And better than that, can't. And listen, son, and two parties that used to be enemies are now family. Amen. I get to look up at him, and the one who crucified his son, and the one who sinned, and put him on the cross, and he looks down where I'm at, and he accepts me in his son's stead. And now I get to cry, Abba, Father. And he looks down at me and he says, son, I say, thank God. Thank God. What a standing we have. And because he came. Amen.
Oh, yes. I mean, he came. He reconciled us. Amen. You couldn't have reconciled it. No way. I've sat down with parties before and walked away from the table tie and said no. You know, folks, today even, when a lot of times when they sign on those divorce documents, you know what they sign? Irreconcilable differences. In other words, thank God, they said we tried. Now, that's probably a lie in most cases. But they said we tried and we failed. Amen. Now, sometimes it's the truth. Amen. But I'm saying this. Irreconcilable differences. And God was so holy, and we were so unholy. That was irreconcilable. He was so much truth, and I was so much a lie. That was irreconcilable. He was so much light, and I was so much darkness. Irreconcilable. And none of those things can coexist. But thank God. Listen, praise God, praise God. And when we started singing at Calvary, boy, I can't last for. Amen. I mean, thank, praise God. I'll take God. Oh, Job had it right when he said, oh, that there was a taste betwixt us and lay hands on us both. I say, Job, amen. Hold on, dear neighbor. In about 3,000 years, and the one you've been looking for is a coming. And he's going to have a hand that's so much God. He can get a hold of God. And he's going to have a hand so much man. Brother Matt, they didn't get a hold of man. In Hebrews 2:17, it says, wherefore in all things it behooved him how to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, and to make a reconciliation for the sins of the people. In 2 Corinthians 5:18-19, how the Bible says, to wit, how that God was reconciling us to himself by Christ Jesus. Amen. Wretched out and gathered all of us up, and those that was enemies, now we're friends. Boy, I'm glad I'm on the friend side. If he hadn't came, there'd be no redemption. If he hadn't came, be no reconciliation. Watch what your Bible says here. You pray for it, say, Lord, help us. Bible says this in verse number, whatever verse that is, down a few from where I sat. He says that he might reconcile both unto God in one body. He said, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And so we find that he did come. And so there is redemption. And he did come. So there is reconciliation. But then I thought about this. If Christ had never came, and we had never known a relationship with God. And I, listen to me, friend. If he wasn't no heaven, they wasn't none. I mean, if they wasn't none of that, I mean, thank God there is. Amen. I thank God for everything. It does, look here, it doesn't strike me spiritual for somebody who says, hey, Brother Kevin, all I want is a little cabin on the backside. That's not spiritual. It's unscriptural. Amen. God didn't say you was going to get a cabin, dear neighbor. That's not the promise. Amen. I believe what God said, don't you? Amen. I've heard them say, well, if I just had a little place on a hillside in the mud. How about last time I checked, never have found no mud in the New Jerusalem. Amen. That's not spiritual. Amen. And thank God you say, well, I'm just so lowly. And well, thank God, listen, friend. I'm saying this. If there wasn't any of that, and boy, if God never came, we never had a relationship with him. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm just what I have in Christ right now.
it's enough. Have that I'm glad that he came. Amen. I'm glad for the communion. Look here, friend. I'm the only people who don't think it's real. It's folks that have never communed with God. Amen. How about, boy, whenever God comes by, how when God gets to heaven, how when God gets to fellowship it, I sure am glad that he chose to come. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? How many of you ever been comforted by the sweet Holy Ghost? Come by your way. And all of a sudden in the middle whenever things ought not be comforted, had the Holy Ghost come by and he comforted you. Yeah. Oh, listen, if he hadn't come, you'd have never had that. Yeah. You'd have never had that communion. You've been sitting in the house of godly lead. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost come by and take the Word of God and start dealing with you in your heart. And Miss Irene, there's been times that I've came and I've sat on the bench and I've sat on the pew, whatever it is you want to call it, son. And I sat there, I thought, God, I need to hear a word from heaven. And the ride in time, that preacher didn't know where I was at. I didn't know what was going on in my life. I didn't know what I was praying about. But the God of glory came down and communed with me. I communicated. I started comforting me through the Bible. I'm saying this, if he had never came, we'd have never had that. Amen. Never had none of it. I'm glad that God comforts us, aren't you? I'm glad God convicts us. I figured they'd be less happy about that. But those that are saved, they're happy about conviction. Amen. Conviction never feels good, but it always is good. Amen. God come by your way. Said, boy, I'm telling you what, you know better than to do that. Right. You know better, young man. What is that you was thinking right then, son? I say, oh, God. And to listen. You say, Brother Kevin, that's a conscience. Well, I'm going to tell you this. Over in Papua New Guinea, there's folks and they just murder folks that they don't like. You know why? Because your conscience can be reset. Even Brother Joshua made mention of it Sunday in Sunday school. Even our conscience is held captive to the word of an almighty God. If you've got it, it's because of the commandments of this, and it's because God decided to communicate with you. You say, I ain't too happy about his communication. Well, let me say this. If God hadn't communicated with you, you wouldn't have known how to get to him. Is that right or not right? Hey, man. Over in John 6:44 says, no man can come unto me. No man, that's how he says it, except the Father which sent me draw him. And he said, I'll raise him up in the last day. Hey, tell what that says. Hey, thank God. Listen. Hey, he said, can't nobody come to me. Hey, he said, but God will send the Spirit and draw them unto me. And whenever they get drawn unto him, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And thank God, I love how that works. And God sends the Spirit, and the Spirit draws you to the Son, and the Son takes you to the Father. Amen. And the only way you know how to do that is because of what he said. Amen. All right, watch this. He said, verse number 18. He said, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Boy, if he hadn't come, we'd have had no relationship, but he did. But he did. If he hadn't came, listen to me. If he hadn't came, there'd have been no reward for us in heaven. Is that right or not right? There'd have been no hope of heaven. I mean, we could have heard about it, known about it, believed about it, and had no way to get there. And you know what would have made hell even worse? Is the fact that we'd have known there was a heaven, but no way to get there. We knew about it. You say, how do you know that? Well, Job knew about it, and he had never seen Christ. Knew about it. Didn't he know about it? That's what the Bible teaches us. He said, thank God, listen, I'm going to get off on, I got to stay right where I'm at, but I want you to listen. Well, what if you woke up this morning, and no matter how the day went, the best, let's say your stock market tripled what it was. You was invested in Bitcoin when it was $100, and now it's in the 90,000s. You said, I'm a millionaire 90 times over. But at the end of that, you thought, Hell's my home. We knew we needed a Messiah, but he never came. What if you had the biggest house in Fenner's County or in all the state of Tennessee? You had all the servants, you had all your belly could handle. We've all had that today. Had all your belly could handle. You get ready to lay down at night and you say, oh, the only thing I got to look forward to is how much more I can gain tomorrow, because it's soon coming to an end. And when it does, all I've got to look forward to is eternal separation, eternal sorrow, eternal suffering. We wouldn't have came in here smiling. Hey, wouldn't have been folks that got up this morning, didn't have nothing in their pockets, but had Christ in their hearts, still excited about what was going on. Amen. But thank God, buddy, did. Amen. Let me read to you this. I'm going to be done. Bible, skip back with me in verse number 4. That don't have nothing to do with what I'm preaching, but I like it. Amen. He said, but God, amen, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when you were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. At verse 7 is the one I'm after. He said that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. He said to them, thank goodness, kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I got a promise in this book that there's a better day ahead. And thank God that in the ages to come, by Christ Jesus already raised us together, and he's going to show us kindness world without end. Amen. You might have got tired of hearing it. John wasn't tired of writing it, and I ain't got tired of telling it. John 14, it's real plain. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, my Father's house. Boy, I like that. I'm glad it's that way, aren't you? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now let's look up here at me, friend. Christ is not using 2x4s in heaven right now. Does everybody understand that? He's not up there lining off, you know, who's going to get to sit by the river of life and doing plumbing for 10,000 square foot homes. That's not what he's talking about, friend. Look here, listen, folks are so confused about this. I want you to hear me. Hey, Brother John, you know this. They sat around, they said, he went to prepare a place. Look at me, neighbor. He stepped out of nowhere on the nothing, and in 6 days spoke the words, and everything you see has been made. Amen. Oh, yeah. Don't need to take his hands and make anything. I'll tell you what he did with them, though. He went up to Calvary's cross, took those two hands, and he made a door. Thank God. And he says these words, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. Boy, if he had never came, there'd be no hope of a reward. But I got good news. He did. Amen. I'm done preaching, but I got to say this. I was reading this the other day, and this fella, I don't know how I ended up where I ended up at. You know, you get in a wormhole called the internet. I got in this wormhole called the internet, and this is what it said. It said, is there any proof to attest to whether this Jesus of Nazareth really ever lived? And this fella behind it started citing off, far smarter than I was. Started citing off Pliny the Elder, a lot of these Josephus. He starts citing off. When he got done, he said, sir, he said, there's more evidence that Christ existed than there are that you exist. Amen. Oh, boy, that got to helping me. Amen. He said, there's more evidence to tell us that Christ was born than that George Washington crossed over on the Delaware. There was more folks that gave an eyewitness sight to the fact that Christ resurrected up from the tomb. They said, thank God, than there was for all of us and sat around and talk about that little Indian girl that helped them during the first pilgrimage. I'm simply saying this. Hey, friend, listen, he did come. Amen. Amen. He did die. He did get up, and he is coming again. Thank God. Look here, friend. All the atheists and liberals and agnostics and even all the Baptists, they ain't enough of none of them to keep him from coming when he said he is. I'm going to ask you this, and I'm done preaching. If he hadn't have came, I mean, if he had not have come, what do you think your life would look like today? I mean, I'm going to stop. But I want you, just give it some thought. If Christ did not come, what would your life look like today? You know what I got a sneaky suspicion of? There'd be a lot of us. One, we'd have needle tracks in our arms. We'd have 15 broken marriages. We'd have a mess of a life. And we wouldn't even have no hope of ever getting out of it. But the good news is he did. He did. Stand to your feet. I'll give you what I feel like the Lord.